This is West Southwest. I'm Andy Robbins, sitting in for Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with Dr. Samson Davis, who's part of the New York Times best-selling author team, The Three Doctors. But first, Western Michigan University President John Dunn joins us in Studio B.
Good morning, Andy. Nice to be with you. And Yvonne, nice to see you as well. Thank you.
And with us is also, as mentioned, Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Yvonne Zipp.
Thanks so much for having me, Andy.
Yvonne?
Dr. Dunn, I wanted to ask about the Everest Institute closing in Kalamazoo as part of a deal with between Corinthian and the Department of Education. I'm wondering if there are going to be any wider ramifications for institutions in the area and what the removal of this one for-profit institute might mean.
It's a very good question, and thank you. It's not one that I've spent a lot of time necessarily reflecting on or thinking about. However, I will say this, that I always say, and that is that our commitment as a university is to make sure that we're responsive to the needs of students, their families, and others, and that those individuals who are impacted or affected by this and need a great institution to continue their education, we're open, available, and willing to assist in any way that we can.
Do you think that, though, if for-profit colleges are greatly trimmed back or even go away, that what will that mean for higher education generally, do you think?
I think the national picture on for-profit colleges is that they're being closely scrutinized to make sure that they are, in fact, are adhering to high standards with respect to the programs they provide. Also the finances and the financial packages that go with the students. And without getting into specifics about any particular for-profit, let me just say that I think there is some clear evidence that some have not been good citizens in the higher education community. They're being called out for that, and I think appropriately so, because all of us should have high ethical standards, expectations of ourselves, and how we treat students and their families and their resources.
The issue of for-profit colleges isn't the only thing on the radar of the federal government with regard to higher education. They've been looking very hard and closely at the issue of sexual abuse on campus. A number of institutions have been identified as needing major improvements in that area. Western is not one of them. Do you think the country has a problem with sexual abuse on its college campuses generally?
Well, certainly the media have done, I think, a very fine job of pointing out incidences that have not been appropriately attended to, females and males that have been assaulted, in some cases horrific things, including rape, and they have... we're all being expected to do a much better job of being cognizant of our responsibility. I think the challenge for most universities is that we are in this awkward spot of having a claim made, being respectful of the claim, doing our due diligence as we need to, then also acknowledging that the other party has voice and rights and opportunities. So in some ways, we're being asked to be the judge, the jury, provide the sanctions and all of those kinds of things. And so there's also now kind of a response from students who have been penalized by institutions saying, hey, you mistreated me. You did not deal with this in an appropriate way. The Oregon situation, University of Oregon, is a really interesting one where you have three males that have now been found guilty by the courts of some very inappropriate, bad stuff with the young woman. These are basketball players there. The university acknowledged early on that, hey, we think we got a problem here. The prosecutor, the local prosecutor, said don't move on any sanctions, like removing them from the team and other things, because we're still collecting evidence and it will get in the way of the case. Well, these young men go on, they play in the tournament, the NC2A tournament, they represent the institution in that capacity. And if you were the person offended here, okay, and you're saying, my gosh, my university not doing anything, you know, what about me? I mean, why are these three young men who we all have good and reasonable belief to think are have done bad things. Why are they still out there on the basketball court? So we're in, all of us are in kind of this awkward spot of how we deal with prosecutors' offices. Fortunately here, I think the relationship with the prosecutors' offices have been very, very good. And I think there are ways you can work through that, but you've got to be in a position where you have good rapport. You can't wait until the incident occurs to establish that kind of rapport and trust. At the same time, you know, I worry about making sure that we are not under-reporting. I mean, technically, we report accurately all cases to the federal government as we need to under the Clery Act and et cetera, et cetera. At the same time, though, I wonder, is there wrongdoing going on that, for whatever reason, our system is such that young women, mostly, sometimes young men, are not bringing forward a case to our attention, and that's not good. So we actually are taking proactive steps on that right now, and we have our own external review going on with some very fine consultants to look both at our documents. How is it that we make people aware that they have rights to report these and a responsibility as well, I might add? And then secondly, is it in the document that our policies that are not right, or is there something else that somehow is discouraging young people in most cases from coming forward and saying, hey, somebody has been really inappropriate with me, either a hostile climate or groping, worse than that. And we want those cases reported and we want to deal with them effectively. And I think we do. I just wonder, are we getting all the cases reported that should be reported? And we're challenging ourselves on that, as we should.
I wanted to ask about the affiliation with Cooley Law School. And earlier this month, the law school announced that due to dropping enrollments of, it's been reported at 40%, they would not be enrolling the first year class on the Ann Arbor campus and that there would be staff and faculty layoffs. When you embarked on this journey, it's been more than a year now. Are you concerned that your partner is not as strong as they were when you started?
Well, first of all, let me correct one thing. I don't know what the exact percentage is of drop off. I know that there is in the applications nationally to law schools, there's a reduction of 40%. And I think Cooley will be around 2,200, 2,300 students next year. And I don't know what the base was to necessarily calculate where their high mark was, okay? But let me say this. We did careful due diligence as we looked at the relationship and the affiliation with Cooley, and that included looking at financial fiduciary oversight. And so there's nothing here that is inherently surprising or unexpected to us. I think in some ways it speaks to the idea of an affiliation, a relationship building. These are challenging times in higher education. And if you look at other sectors of the market or other places in the country, Thunderbird, which is a very, very fine business school in the state of Arizona, is looking for an affiliation with Arizona State. And Arizona State may end up with two colleges of business within their university. These are very different times. And as I've said from the beginning, our mission and our responsibility, I think, in higher education is to think a little bit outside of the box, to look at relationships, in this case, an affiliation, in ways that are helpful, most importantly, to the people we're trying to serve. The students here, as well as the students at Cooley. So we remain very excited. We now have ABA approval. We now have Higher Learning Commission approval. And I think on September the 17th, we will be going to Florida, the Florida site that Cooley has, which has been going extremely well, to meet with the regulators there to talk about the affiliation. So it's a different time. It's not, I mean, at a different scale. Last year, we too had a shortfall. We had to write our budget. These are times that you have to do responsible and appropriate things. I think the Cooley board, President LaDuc, are responsible and they're balancing their budget. And yeah, nobody likes to engage in saying to someone, you've taught courses for us in the past, but we really don't have need for your services next year. But again, that's not uncommon in higher education, and certainly not uncommon in the world of business and commerce.
You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Andy Robbins. With me is Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Yvonne Zipp, and we're speaking with Western Michigan University President John Dunn. President Dunn, some community colleges in Michigan are either in the process of or granting now four-year degrees in certain areas that are allowed by the state legislature. Among them are Lake Michigan College in Benton Harbor St. Joseph and Glen Oaks Community College in Centerville. Is that development, how's that development going to alter, if it will, the relationship between four-year schools like Western and the traditionally two-year community colleges?
Well, of course, we're very, very proud of what we do in terms of our university and the quality of the education we provide for our students. And we offer all programs being fully accredited by the appropriate bodies. That's something that all consumers should keep in mind as they think about their future. It's one thing to have a degree in business. It's another to have a degree in business from a fully accredited college of business. And it's sad when you have a student who might go out and has a four-year degree in business, but it's from an unaccredited institution or an unaccredited program within an institution that is accredited. That's challenging because employers look at those things very, very carefully. I believe that the limited number, and it's in a very small number of areas where there are four-year degrees that are now permissible, and assuming that the institutions can meet the Higher Learning Commission expectations and accreditation, but it does take on a lot of additional work for the community colleges. There's additional cost for the community colleges to do this. And I worried all along that they may not have fully assessed what those relationships and costs might be. I'm proud, for instance, I think we have one of the finest community colleges in the nation right here locally in Kalamazoo Valley Community College. And, of course, they have no appeal for trying to do four-year degrees. Their whole approach has been to think, as do we, in terms of the needs of the student, making sure that transfers go efficiently and that we transfer courses appropriately. And, of course, you know, we've established these reverse degree articulation agreements with the community colleges, and I think we now have 19 of those, and those are very powerful. A student can leave a community college without their associate degree, come to Western Michigan University, take a selected course as we transfer those back to the community college, and then they can award the student the associate degree. That's a good partnership. It helps the community colleges. To me, that is very good thinking. And I'm, you know, I still have concerns that, you know, there's some discussion always about do we have too many four-year institutions? Well, the passage of that law just increased that number potentially by 32 more. And, you know, I don't understand it. I think it was bad policy. But again, we move on, and we will continue to keep our eye on students and what we're trying to do with students.
Do you think that part of what might have driven that law is the perception that it's less expensive to go to a community college than to a four-year school?
It possibly, and certainly we heard that. But when you, again, get into the four-year degree, and if you do it right, and you really provide the expectations that employers and others have, the cost for the community colleges will also have to escalate. You can't do it without having people with the appropriate credentials delivering the right kind of stuff that will be responsive to the needs of the market that's out there. And employers are smart and wise, and they'll see that quickly.
We've been speaking with Western Michigan University President John Dunn. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks to reporter Yvonne Zipp of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks so much, Andy.
This is West Southwest on WMUK, information and inspiration for Southwest Michigan. I'm Andy Robbins.